In one prolonged, depressive bout, Ron stopped communication with everyone and withdrew completely until the guards found him curled into a fetal position on his bed. He would respond to nothing. Then, on September 29th, Ron cut his wrists again. He was taking his medication sporadically, was talking nonstop about suicide, and was finally deemed to be a threat to himself. He was moved out of F cell house and transferred to Eastern State Hospital in Veneta. Upon his admission, his chief complaint was, "I have suffered unjustified abuse." At Eastern State, he was first seen by a staff physician, a Dr. Lizarraga, who saw a 36-year-old with a history of drugs and alcohol, unkempt, unshaven, with long graying hair and a mustache, in shabby prison dress, with burn marks on his legs and scars on his arms, scars he made sure the doctor noticed. He freely admitted many of his misdeeds, but adamantly denied killing Debbie Carter. The injustice from which he was suffering had caused him to lose hope and want to die. For the next 3 months, Ron was a patient at Eastern State. His medication was stabilized. He was seen by various doctors, a neurologist, a psychologist, several psychiatrists. It was noted more than once that he was unstable emotionally, had a low tolerance for frustration, was self-centered with low self-esteem, was detached at times, and had a tendency to explode quickly. The mood swings were wild and remarkable. He was demanding and over time became aggressive with the staff and other patients. This aggression could not be tolerated, and Ron was discharged and sent back to death row. Dr. Lizarraga prescribed lithium carbonate, Navane, and Cogentin, a drug used primarily to treat symptoms of Parkinson's disease, but sometimes used to reduce shakiness and restlessness caused by tranquilizers. Back at Big Mac, a prison guard by the name of Savage was brutally attacked by Michael Patrick Smith, a death row inmate generally regarded as the most dangerous killer in the prison. Smith rigged a knife, or a shank, to the end of a broom handle and thrust it through the beanhole as the guard was serving him lunch. The shank went into his chest and heart, but Officer Savage miraculously survived. 2 years earlier, Smith had stabbed a fellow inmate. The attack occurred not on death row, but on D cell house, where Smith was being held for disciplinary reasons. Nonetheless, the prison officials decided that a new, state-of-the-art death row facility was required. The attack was well publicized and prompted funding for the new unit. Plans were drawn up for H Unit, which from the outset was designed to maximize security and control while providing inmates and staff with a safe, modern environment in which to live and work. It would have 200 cells on two floors, running along four quads. From the beginning, the design of H Unit was driven by the prison staff. In the tense atmosphere following the attack on Officer Savage, the staff was given enormous input into the creation of a non-contact facility. Early in the design phase, 35 prison employees met with the Tulsa architects hired by the Department of Corrections. Though no death row inmate had ever escaped from McAllister, the designers of H Unit adopted the dramatic plan of putting the entire unit underground. After 2 years on death row, Ron's mental health was seriously deteriorating. His noise, yelling, screaming, cursing at all hours of the day and night, grew worse. His behavior grew even more desperate. His temper would explode over nothing, and he would launch into a fit of cursing and throwing things. In another fit, he would spit for hours into the hall. He once spat on a guard. But when he began throwing his feces through the bars, it was time to take him away. "He's slinging shit again," a guard yelled, and everybody ducked for cover. When things were clear, they rushed him and hauled him away, back to Veneta for another round of evaluation. He spent a month at Eastern State in July and August 1990. He was again seen by Dr. Lizarraga, who diagnosed the same problems as before. After 3 weeks, Ron began demanding to be returned to death row. He was concerned about his appeal and felt that he could work on it better at McAllister, where at least they had a law library. His medications had been adjusted, he seemed to be stabilized, and so he was sent back.